And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. What do you think, Pete?
I think this is episode 61.
Of American Christian.
Of American Christian. I'm Pete Cooper.
I'm David Nichols.
And we're here to create a hunger in you that the kingdom of heaven will go on display here on the earth. Because, folks, this is what we're needing right now. Because the powers of darkness and the fear that is coming upon men in the nations all over the world right now, that fear is making itself very well known in every household and in every age group.
And it's finally landing here in the good old USA.
Oh, boy.
It used to just be for, like, African nations and Middle Eastern Muslim nations.
Right.
But now...
Right. Onto the, the almighty American people are now trembling in fear, Doc. In this episode, we're calling it Fear Factor. Because it is everywhere that you look, listener, you've been hearing about the fear of people crossing over our borders. Now, whether you're in agreement with it or you don't agree with it, there's fear in that occurring here in the nation.
And then the big one, of course, is the continuing so-called pandemic.
Right.
With now its variants, which it's not just the Delta variant, it's the Alpha and the Beta and the Gamma. And now in South America, we have the Lambda.
Yeah, that's L. That's the middle of the alphabet on the
Greek alphabet.
The Greek alphabet, yeah.
Right.
So you've got masks. And you've got vaccine mandates. We've got national lockdowns in Australia. So imagine taking your family to the beach and you've got helicopters flying over above saying...
Black helicopters.
And then they're talking to people down on the beach, telling them to disperse and to go away. We have election fraud.
I love those black helicopters. They're my favorite.
the fear of man in you right there.
Oh, my word.
How about how many of you right now are hearing about or experiencing a fear of losing your job because you're not going to get vaccinated, or because you're not going to wear a mask any longer, or because you don't want to send your kids to school to be masks, or you're not going to send your kids to school because other kids aren't getting vaccinated, or other kids aren't wearing masks, or your kids are going to and they're not? We are on both sides of this thing. There's fear, whether you're for it or against it, whether you're for borders, whether you're against borders, whether you're for vaccination or against it, whether you're for masks or against it.
That's a really good point, Pete.
Right? Fear doesn't sit on one side of an equation. It sits on both sides.
So I guess that what I would take away from what you just said is... as Christians and as American Christians, we better know what to do with fear.
Oh, my word, yeah. Absolutely.
Or it's going to eat our lunch. Right?
Yeah. And what about economic collapse? Do you think the economy cares whether or not your kids are masked or not masked? You think that the economy cares whether you're vaccinated or not? With the loss of the power of the dollar, you don't think that's coming with all the money that they've been giving away? Have we hit the end of the road with that? What about the loss of your family? You think families are doing better today now that we've been in a lockdown and because we've had all these regulations pushed on us? Are families doing better? Has divorce lessened or has it increased? Has the loss of family and members of family and suicide, right? So we just wanted to, like, come at you with this whole thing, that there is a problem with fear.
So is there a way out, Pete?
Well, there is, and we did talk about that in episode 60, right?
We did, but we want to press into that a little more here today.
I think that we need to.
And I think we need to go down to verse 34.
All right, let's do it.
Because in this same discourse, where Jesus says, you know, the men's hearts failing them for fear and so forth. In verse 34, he says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Now, we all understand, I think all of our listeners pretty much understand what's wrong with carousing.
Right.
That's like chasing after people you're not married to, all that kind of evil stuff.
Hanging out with people you shouldn't be hanging out with.
And drunkenness, we understand what's wrong with that. It's very clear from the Bible.
Right.
But when you come to cares of this life, what do you do with that?
Worldliness.
But just the cares of life.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, you know, I got to have a vehicle. I got to have gas. I got to have a house to live in. I got to have this.
Well,
I
got to
have that. Right. My kids got to have clothes on them.
Right.
I mean, what do you do with that?
Now, when was the last time that you did without anything? Really? I mean, if I look at my own life, not that I'm a representation of what this nation looks like, but I have known times where I've had nothing, not even a key in my pocket, because I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have a car to drive. I didn't have any money. So there have been those times, and the cares of life do become very heavy. And I think the enemy likes to see the underbelly of men and women that want to move into that place and become concerned about the cares of life, because Jesus told us not to be concerned with those things.
But the key, right, the key is up in the first part of the verse, I think. Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down. It's not wrong to have a vehicle. It's not wrong to have a house. It's not wrong to have clothes on your kids and food on your table.
Right.
But if your heart gets weighed down, how does that happen?
Right. And how do you do that if you're a single parent?
Oh, my word.
You know, well, in our household, you know, with Tammy and I, you know, and I think that you and Sherry experienced the same thing, the phenomenon when one is down, the other's generally up. Mm-hmm. And not that there's this big swing between up and down, but that we know when our spouses become troubled, and we can shore them up with kind words and doing nice things and taking a break from, like, you know, don't talk about money before you go to bed, right? Like those kinds of things. But hearts being weighed down, Doc. I mean, my heart's starting to get heavy now, really over the nation, and really it's over the church.
No, it's one thing to have the Lord put a burden on you because he wants you to pray more and he wants you to come to him and hold these things up. But that's not your heart being weighed down in the negative sense, I think, that Jesus is talking about here.
Right. That's good.
That there is a difference there.
Yeah.
But Jesus goes on, this heart being weighed down with these things. In verse 35, the day will come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
Wow, there's a little hope in that passage.
Oh, yes.
In the fact that you can escape all these things. And being counted worthy, you know, how are we counted worthy?
Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Whoa. That Jesus is Lord, and that's also how we overcome the evil one.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
And the power of our testimony.
Exactly.
You know, we've talked a lot about testimony. Friday Night Fire is a big testimony. Your newsletter that we send out from Heart of the Father contains a lot of testimony.
Satan wants to shut down testimony.
Ooh.
Because it defeats him when it's coupled together with the blood of the Lamb.
What happens when everybody's wearing a mask? You think people are talking more or talking less?
It's a way to shut down the testimony.
It's a way to shut down the testimony. Man alive, that just hit me right now.
However, I will add this part.
Dude.
when our governor made his original mandate back last year about the COVID-19, there was a sentence in there that really got my attention.
Okay.
You have to wear a mask at all times in public except when giving testimony. I said, hallelujah.
So. That's right. I forgot about that. You were all, yeah, that's right.
he meant like in court, yeah, or, you know, yeah, or something like that. But I said, no, testimony. Yeah, we know what that is.
Man, we could all do a little ventriloquism if we all had to wear masks.
Ooh.
Get your little puppet up there.
But, you know, that's where we have to keep our eyes focused, is on that we are going to stand before the Son of Man.
Right.
And the second coming. And Jesus is going to be absolute victor, absolute Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's going to be wonderful. But how do we get from here to there intact?
Well, right.
Standing before the Son of Man with all this that you just mentioned, Pete.
So if we're not lined up with the Lord, right? Now, maybe we just to take a second there and to talk about the loss of your life, and losing your life, and losing the life of a loved one,
and the fear of death,
right? How real is that to you, listener, right now? I mean, when you think about the fact that if you died now. You know, we're like, well, if I died in a car crash, you know, I'd get to go to heaven. But what about something that takes a little bit longer and you become a burden to your family, kind of a deal, right? But the hope that we have in Christ and Jesus, right? So right now we know that if you're living in America right now and you're listening to this, you're being inundated with a lot of talk of fear. There's a lot of problems that are going on out there. But we're saying, look, come with us and let's get into the Word and let's see what Jesus had to say. What does the Word have to say? Because these are not uncommon times, right, Doc? Because you were talking about Jerusalem, right? Being surrounded by Titus,
armies,
right?
And that Jesus said right in verses before the one we read.
Here he comes.
When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, what does he say?
When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that it is desolation, that desolation is near. Let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
Do you know the historical fact is? See, Jesus said these words over 30 years before that happened on the Mount of Olives.
Right.
Okay. The Christians who knew Jesus' words and lived around Jerusalem knew what Jesus said. And when the armies of Titus started clamping down and encroaching in on Jerusalem, that's exactly what they did. They fled to a place called Pella. And they were safe during the whole slaughter, the whole surrounding, the whole siege of Jerusalem, which took almost 4 years.
Yeah, but what if you were out carousing and you were partaking in drunkenness to forget your woes of this life, right? In the verses over here.
Then you would have probably fled back into the city at the sight of the soldiers and the military machine coming up, even though it was going to take 3.5 years for it all to come down. But by the end of that 3.5 years, there was no food in the city. This was in the historian Josephus. And we're telling you these things, listener, not to make you more fearful, but to tell you that this has happened before.
Right.
And Jesus foretold it in very clearly and very accurately, and it's upon us now. Now, maybe in a slightly different form. One thing that Josephus records is two women with young children, very young children, babies, they made a pact between themselves. They were going to survive by eating their own children.
Oh, doctor.
Oh, yeah. It's right in Josephus. The problem came when they ate the one gal's child first, and then when they came for the other one, she didn't want to give hers up. And so the magistrates had to intervene and decide if, when, and how the child was going to be eaten.
Right.
And by its own mother.
This happened back in Kings.
Yes, right? Similar thing.
So if we're looking around, Doc, we talked about this before we came on air, the idea of if we look around at what we see as happening in the country, like right now we're in a huge drought.
Yes, we are.
We've heard about flooding over in Germany, flooding in France.
Right. We've too much water.
Too much water. The earthquake in Haiti. Mm-hmm. The Canadian fires.
Flooding in Haiti.
Too
much water down there.
So we've got, there are things that we're seeing that aren't normal. And maybe they're all part, maybe they're all just part of the whole, there is no God, and this is just the cycles of weather and da-da-da-da. But if we really stop and look, what do we think is happening? And I don't want to say that we're being judged. Maybe I'm being naive, but maybe some things are being lifted right now that normally protected us. And our lack of repentance, mm-hmm. We were a nation that was, we were ready to move. I mean, we really were ready to go. We were bringing things back into the country. We were beefing up our own military. Mm-hmm. We were seeing that, hey, look, let's get healthy. Let's get America healthy so that we can go out and help others, because we were expending too much and not taking care of our own, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's kind of like what the word's talking about in Luke. There's a surrounding that's happening right now to us within our own nation, and really within our own leaders and our leadership. How many of our leaders that are in Congress and in the House and that are running our government, how many of them are born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, believers that are looking out, that are telling us the truth? Because
there are a few.
There are a few, mm-hmm. But there's not a lot.
Right.
There's a problem. There's the power is unbalanced right now, right?
Right.
It's like evil is having its way right now, and I don't like it.
I don't either, but there are certain scriptures I keep coming back to, which I did with you this morning earlier.
Right.
One is in Daniel chapter 2. After Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Nebuchadnezzar is he's all freaked out, remember?
Yeah.
Fear.
Yeah.
I can't understand this dream. You know, this is bad, but, you know, all this, and he calls in the wise guys and all that. And you're okay, King, tell us the dream. He goes, no, I'm not telling you the dream. You guys have been pulling my chain before. Yeah, he doesn't say that, but that's kind of what's the background for it. He says, you tell me what the dream was, and I'll believe you can interpret it. Whoa, we can't do that. Yeah. Remember the story?
I do.
There's one guy.
Yep.
There's a guy.
There is a guy.
God had a guy prepared at the right time and the right moment to be there.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Right.
So they call in Daniel. Daniel goes, well, let me go home and pray. And he does. And God reveals the whole thing to him. So he goes in and says, okay, here it is. There's this huge statue, gold, silver, bronze, and
iron and clay
on the feet. Right. And Nebuchadnezzar is undone. Yeah, that was it. And then Daniel said, well, wait a minute. Let me tell you what it means.
Okay.
That you, O king, are the head of gold, and after you is going to come a kingdom of silver and then of bronze. And he's laying it out in somewhere around the 580s B.C., stuff that has not happened yet.
Right.
The rise of the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greeks, the Romans, which are all going to, hundreds of years later, these are going to come.
Yeah.
But he's showing it through this prophetic dream. But at the end of that explanation is what I love in verse 44. In the days of those kings, God will set up a kingdom that will not be destroyed. It will not be left to others. Mm. It itself will increase and grow and cover the whole earth. And the stone was also part of this vision. The stone that was cut out without hands is going to come and hit the statue on its feet and crush it, and it's going to rule the earth. That's the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus and the kingdom of God.
Right. You know, I like what you said, and God raised up a man. So if you're a listener, I want you to think that just for a moment, has God raised you up for your family?
Yes,
He has. Yeah. Has God raised you up in your workplace? Has He raised you up to be that voice in the wilderness and saying, hey, look, I think that we need to have a conversation here.
And things that are evil need to be resisted.
Yeah, and they need to be brought into the light.
That's right.
You know, you got to start bringing your family together. Oh. We got to start having that conversation. What are we going to do?
That's right.
But so, Doc, anyway, let's go off into Hebrews.
Oh,
because
man.
I know Hebrews. This is one of our promises.
Because, listener, we can't leave you in despair.
No.
We can't leave you in wondering and in hopelessness, because the Bible doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't do it. The Father doesn't do it.
Mm.
He loves us, and we win.
Hallelujah.
Both in the end.
Yes.
But even now.
Right.
Because the real issue is from right now till the second coming. What do we do?
Right.
That's what we got to get our hands on.
Right.
So here's what it says. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Hallelujah. He himself.
When that voice comes to you and says, you're forsaken, you're alone, you've been left, that's not God.
Thank you.
That's the enemy.
That's right.
Or your own mind, your own flesh, trying to do something. That's not God. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, not just say, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not
fear.
Oh, there's that word again.
I will not fear. Listener, say it.
I will not fear. What can man do to me? Peter, they can kill me.
Oh, no, they can't.
Oh, okay.
You're already dead.
Oh, that's right.
If you're a believer, you're already dead.
Oh, man. I was the other night, I was listening to this old Imperial song from way back in probably the 70s called Water Grave.
Oh,
do you remember that song?
I think you played it for me
one
time.
Oh, my word.
We did go into that.
So if I let the dead man linger in me, I might get a little idle in my way. So I'm going down to the Celebration River, going to take this dead man down to a water grave.
Oh, baby, come on.
I'm going down to the river. I'm going to be buried alive. I'm gonna show my heavenly Father, the man I used to be has finally died.
Oh, glory!
Woo! I love that song.
I mean,
I love it.
It goes
kind of in an unusual way.
Who's the lead on that?
Russ Taft.
Yeah. Man, that guy.
I know he could sing, man. Yeah,
he did. Man.
Right.
Okay, so the Lord is my helper.
So we're dead.
We're dead. I will not fear.
But we're still living a life in the body on this earth.
Right.
So, verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Kingdoms change, politics change,
rulers change,
economics change, empires change, yeah. But Jesus does not change.
Oh. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them.
Mm.
It's good that the heart be established by grace.
Yes.
Listener, you have been established by the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
That is so powerful. Grace brings peace. Grace brings love.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing for somebody to tell you to not fear as a human being. It's another thing to have Jesus tell you that.
Right.
Because look how this goes on. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. This is the contrast between Judaism without Jesus and the new covenant.
Oh.
For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate.
Mm.
In other words, Jesus was crucified outside the city walls of Jerusalem.
Right.
Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Now, how do we get out of fear? First of all, Jesus went into that whole scenario, his trial, his whipping, the whipping post, the cross, the Via Dolorosa, all that. Jesus kept his own word. Jesus did not fear.
No.
I love how the movie The Passion of the Christ captures that. There is no fear in Jesus before any of that. No matter how they beat him, no matter how they abuse him, no matter how they hurt him, he's not afraid. Now that's the guy who says to you, mm-hmm. do not fear.
Yeah. And how do you, listener, how do you get to that place where you will not have any fear? And it has to be by drawing closer and closer and closer to the Father.
But here it is, right in verse 15
well,
and 16 too.
Therefore,
by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Ooh. Listener, when you're just going through your day and you're just doing stuff, and you're enough by yourself, you can just verbally pray. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I was doing it in the airport yesterday. And, you know, I mean, not real loud, but
right.
but you just do it. You just, or sing choruses and songs of praise.
Right.
Right out of your heart. Just when you could let other things come out of your mouth, but you choose that instead.
Right.
And sometimes it just bubbles up.
Right.
And do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased.
Hallelujah.
You know what? In all of this, all of us have received so much. Let's just give.
Yeah.
You see somebody, any kind of a need, give.
Yeah.
Do they need gas? Take them to the station. Put it on your card. I mean, what do they need? They need a meal? They need a Jackson, give them a 20.
Right.
You need a Benjamin, give them a 100.
Right.
I mean, it just give.
Hallelujah.
Share.
I like sharing.
Yeah.
And verse 17 also says, obey those who rule over you. Listener, he's not talking about government rule here.
Right.
He's talking about
pastors and bishops and those
bishops.
Guys.
Right. If you're not part of a church body, and you're just coming to listen to what we have to say, you are missing the mark. You are in danger right now. If all you're doing is listening online to things, you have to be part of a church body. It's very, very important, especially if you live in this nation. I mean, it's one thing to be gathering in a place in China in a dark cave somewhere where you're wandering 5-6 miles to get there, and you have to take a different route to get there every time that you want to get together, but not here. That's not so.
Yeah.
You have
won't go there.
It could be coming, yeah, with tracking everything else. But watch out, but they who watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Your pastor has to give an account for you.
Mm.
And if you're a pastor, an elder, or a deacon, and you're hearing this, Know this, you are being held accountable for those that the Lord has placed underneath you.
Yes.
It is a that would be something to fear. To fear God.
Yes.
I mean, these are huge callings. And
but notice, as you do these things, if you do this, continually offering the sacrifice of praise and sharing, just giving to people, I'm telling you, there's joy in that.
Yeah, there is.
And you are taking practical actions that release you from fear and even from the fear of death.
Yeah. If you're giving out of love and joy and the grace that's been shown to you, instead of giving out of, I better ante up here.
I gotta pay my tithes again.
Yeah, I gotta ante up. Make sure I'm on the good side of God right now. No, just you give because your brother is in need.
And let it be a joy.
Yeah.
But I love these weapons that God has given us, and they don't really look like that dangerous of weapons, but they are.
Right.
To defeat and drive back and keep off of us fear. So, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Right.
There you have it.
You know, it looks like we're going a little extra long here. Do we want to go into the folly of not trusting God?
Next time.
Well, I think that's where we should go.
I do too.
But right now, you know, we've made a habit of praying for our listeners.
Why don't you pray, Pete, and just pray this as a blessing over the listeners right now.
Yeah. So, Lord, I thank you, God, that you have raised up men and women, first and foremost, Lord, in their own homes, to lead their families, to lead their children. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would return the heart of the father to their sons and daughters. And Lord, that you would raise up children, Lord, that their hearts would beat for their father, for their mother, Lord. Allow them, Lord, to return. Father, I thank you, God, that you are out in front. Lord, you have made a way for us through Jesus Christ. You are the grace giver. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would place upon the hearts of each one of our listeners, Lord, that you would give them the spirit of thanksgiving. Lord, that you would place upon them the spirit of gratitude. That you would place upon them the spirit of adoption, Lord. For them to know, Lord, that they have authority here on this earth because they are your son, because they are your daughter, Lord, that you have given them the right to do so. But, Lord, that they would exercise and that they would place the kingdom of God on display through giving, through encouraging words, by coming to be with you on Sunday mornings, by joining and participating with other members of their family, with their neighbors, Lord, that they start to gather together. Because the time has come, Lord. We can see this nation being surrounded, not necessarily by an army of flesh and blood, but there surely is an enemy that is encroaching upon this land and upon our regions, Lord. And we are asking, Lord, that you would have mercy upon us as we walk out the obedience of your word, Lord, in and through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.